Good morning and welcome to another sermon on The Good Life. This one's coming to you from my office. And last week we began this new series called The Good Life, a message of hope for the weary. Today we continue that series. We continue our exploration of The Good Life. What is it? What does it look like? How do we enter into it? And in order to help us answer the question, over the next couple of weeks, we are looking at the Beatitudes of Jesus. How is it that Jesus defines the good life, the blessed life, the fortunate life? And as we saw last week, Jesus flips conventional wisdom on its head, does he not? All the values that we aspire towards, Jesus sort of knocks those off the table and says, I know you've been told that this is what leads to the good life, but I want to paint a different picture for you. I want to paint a picture of the good life that doesn't leave you exhausted and burnt out and always chasing after some elusive life that is 5, 10, 15, maybe even 1 foot in front of you. But rather, Jesus gives a picture saying, I'm going to tell you about the good life that is more accessible than you ever imagined. And it's a good life, as we saw last week, that is available to you even in the worst moments that life can bring. Now today, this whole turning values upside down, it continues with the second beatitude. So we're in Matthew chapter 5, and today we're going to be in verse 4. Jesus continues, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn. When's the last time you thought you were living the good life while you were mourning? Mourning is not an enjoyable state. It's not an enviable state. When we see people mourning, if we're going through a time of grief ourselves, we often feel like we have anything but the good life in our grasp. But yet here's Jesus. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Now, if you're the first century audience, or if you're a 21st century audience, clearly at this moment, you're like, all right, I'm done with this sermon. Jesus is not giving me anything that I can work with. Let's explore a little deeper, though, how it is that this beatitude relates to the good life. What exactly is Jesus talking about? How can mourning be understood? How can a time of mourning be understood as actually you being in possession of the good life? So let's begin today with a question. And the question is, why do we mourn? Well, the reason why we mourn is because we've experienced a loss of some kind. There's something that we had. Maybe it's an experience, there's a person that was in our life, and now that possibility, that person, is no longer here with us. Something has changed, something has shifted, and we've experienced a loss of something that we held valuable. Now, when I think about my life and where I've been, I, like many of you, have experienced my fair share of loss. It's loss that has come as a result of a physical death, the loss of my grandparents. There have been the loss of certain relationships that I held as valuable. People that they haven't physically died, but they're no longer in my life for various reasons. There's been times in life when I've experienced a loss of hope, when a reality that I was hoping for, I came to realize it just wasn't possible. I was never going to realize this dream that I was striving towards. Another big loss for me has been the loss of playing soccer. Soccer was a sport that I devoted much of my life to in my earlier years. But two broken legs, two torn ACLs later, finally realized, all right, it's probably time, the universe is giving me this sign, it's probably time to retire soccer. But I feel that loss. I miss it. It was so much a part of my life that now that it's not there, there's like this gap, there's this ache, the fact that I'm not out there on the soccer field playing once a week or however many times a week that might be. I also experienced the loss of freedom. when I started having kids a couple of years back. And this is how it is with every single new life stage. You enter into a particular life stage, and there's the excitement, there's the adventure of that which lies in front of you. But you also have to mourn that which you lost. And so, while yes, a new life stage is filled with euphoria many times, there's also the need to grieve that which you're leaving behind. So I've experienced my fair share of loss. Loss, it's an inevitable part of life. And the truth about loss is that you can't simply call up Liberty Mutual or Geico. You can't buy loss insurance. There's nothing that you can do to protect yourself from experiencing loss in your life. It's part of the human journey. It's something that we will all go through at various moments in our lives. Now, for me, a particular loss that shook me the most was when I lost a high school friend when I was a sophomore in college. Because things like this aren't supposed to happen. There are losses in life that they're really, really difficult, but they're part of the natural progression of life. I expected to lose my grandparents while I was still alive. I expect to lose my parents while I'm still alive. Those losses are extremely difficult for all of us. But the loss of a 20-year-old, I mean, things like this, the world is not supposed to work this way. So for me, when I experienced this loss, it completely shattered me. And initially, upon hearing about my friend's death, I just went completely numb. I lost all feeling, all emotion, and it wasn't just like I lost the bad feelings and the bad emotions that I just didn't want to feel. I lost all emotion completely, because that's how it works. You lose the lows, but you also lose the highs. And I found myself for a period of time just extremely apathetic, not caring really about anything. And this lingered for a while. It didn't go away after a week, 6 months, I mean, even a year. I was in this space where I was fluctuating back and forth between numbness and anger, which are two, they're listed as two of these stages of grief by many different people. Numbness, not wanting to feel the pain of the loss, and then anger, being angry at the fact that, well, the world's not supposed to be this way. Why did this happen? Why did God allow for this to happen? Why did it have to happen to me? And what I noticed is during this time, I was keeping life itself at arm's length. I was keeping everyone, all of my friends, everything about the beauty of life, I was keeping it at arm's length because I never wanted to have to feel the pain of that which I was going through. And I thought, well, if I can close my heart off to love, to life itself, if I can close myself off to all of that, all the things that are good in this world, well, then I'll never have to experience another loss in my life. If I can just protect my heart, close it up, put some walls up, if I can guard it well enough, I'll never have to feel this pain again. And after a period of time, I realized that, yes, I was closing myself off to the feelings of pain and loss, but I was also closing myself off to joy and to the life that was all around me. I wasn't able to move forward in life. I wasn't able to cultivate new relationships or to strengthen the relationships that I already had. I remember when I was a sophomore in college, I mean, my roommate, John Straub, loved that guy because he was there constantly. Hey, let's go do this. Let's go do that. And I would just stick my arm out like one of the wide receivers in football running down the field, just trying to keep myself distant because I just wasn't ready to enter into anything that I could possibly lose in the future. And over time, as I realized this, as I started thinking about where I was, I slowly, ever so slowly, it's like the gas valve in your grill. You can totally open it up all the way so the gas comes flooding out, or you can ever so slightly begin to adjust the valve so a little bit of gas comes out, just little by little. And so for me, like the slight turning of the valve, little by little, I started allowing myself to feel the pain of the loss. It's like I gave myself permission to mourn. I gave myself permission to grieve. I had been bottling it all up, holding it all in for so long, months, longer than a year. And then as I gave myself permission to feel it all, to feel the lows, to not numb any longer, that's when the healing process began. Notice Jesus in his sermon, he said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Now this word comfort, it comes from the Greek word parakleo, and it means to summon or to call to one side. When we're vulnerable, when we allow ourselves to feel the raw emotions that we hold, when we allow ourselves and others and even God into our pain, it's as if we're summoning another presence. We're summoning, calling to our side comfort, healing, someone, a divine being to walk with us through the pain and the loss that we've experienced. We can't receive that which we don't ask for. For me, when I started turning that valve, it's as if I began summoning the divine presence to my side. I think God was there all along, but I wasn't allowing God into that space. I wasn't allowing others into that space. I wasn't even allowing myself into that space. I was denying that it existed. But once I started allowing others and myself and God to enter into that vulnerable, tender space within my heart, I began to feel comforted. And the moments of holding everything at arm's length, it's like that just began to crumble. And for the first time in, I don't even know how long, I remember feeling this presence with me, this comfort that just goes beyond any comprehension. When I started opening my heart again, allowing those walls to come down, that's when the healing journey for me began. And sure, I'll always have a scar. I'll always carry that experience of loss with me everywhere I go. It's true for all of us. We all carry our losses with us. Every step we take, they're there. They're a part of you. They're the scars that you'll carry for the rest of your life. But what happens as you begin walking down this healing journey and allowing yourself access to the space, the space of pain and loss, those places become a little less tender. They begin to hurt a little less, and you're able to talk about them. You're able to laugh at the moments, at the memories that once were. So how does mourning lead to the good life? How is this statement, this truth statement that Jesus delivered, how is this possibly something that can lead us into a life of satisfaction and fulfillment? Well, as I mentioned, numbing, denying, stuffing down, it all takes us away from life. And what it does when we numb ourselves, when we don't allow ourselves or give ourselves permission to mourn, it's as if we're shrinking our emotional bandwidth. We don't want to feel the lows, but in that process of cutting ourselves off from feeling the pain, we're also cutting ourselves off from the highs, from the joys, the euphoria, the euphoric moments that life presents around every corner. So when I was not allowing myself to feel the pain, yeah, I wasn't feeling I wasn't having to feel those bad feelings, but I also wasn't able to feel the good moments that life was throwing my way. And then a second reason how this leads to the good life is when we allow ourselves to mourn, we experience God in deeper ways. Saint Ephraim, he's a Syrian saint, a Syrian bishop. He said that our tears give us greater understanding of God. Oftentimes in the Western world that we live, we try to understand God through intellect, through rationale, through ideas and concepts. That's not how God is best understood. God is best understood through feeling and knowing that there's a presence, there's a comfort, there's a healing that's with you. Saint Ephraim, tears help us understand God in deeper ways. See, for me, up until this moment in my life, before I had lost my friend, God was just an idea. God was a concept. I could write about it. I knew the edges of it. But now, after having gone through this experience, it's as if God became even more real. God became bigger. I realized how little of God I actually understood, but there was something in the sorrow. There was something in the grief that connected me with God in ways that I had never felt connected before. When I think about Jesus and all that he taught, all that his life lived, Jesus never promised answers. He never promised that we would have everything all figured out, but rather Jesus promises solidarity, presence, being with us. There's something about grief that connects us to God in deep ways that we will never come to know simply through ideas and concepts. And then a third reason why mourning leads us into the good life is because it connects us with ourselves. And it connects us with all the other humans that are walking this planet. Because if there is one thing that is common about our humanity, it's moments of loss, of grief, the need to mourn. When we mourn, when we grieve, we're accessing the deepest parts of our humanity, the things that are the most true about us, because love is something that is true about all of us at our core. And when we love something or someone, you'll experience loss when you lose that person or the experience that you once had. So when we mourn, it leads us into the good life. It leads us into this life of blessing that we only come to understand as we allow ourselves to feel the full spectrum of our human emotions. So as we enter into 2021, here we are in the beginning of a new year, my question for you is there any grief, any unresolved grief that you've been carrying around with you? You've buried it. You've stuffed it. Are there any ways that you're numbing your experience of life? It's like you're going through life wearing massive gloves. You're trying to reach out and touch someone else, but you can only experience that touch through these big, fluffy, insulated gloves. Maybe it's time to take the gloves off this year. I simply want to give you permission to grieve as we begin this new year, to mourn. Give yourself permission to feel the pain that you've been carrying with you. Maybe you've been told by other people before, well, mourning's for losers. Tears, they're not masculine, or you just need to suck it up. You need to just keep moving forward. You should be beyond that already. I'm here to tell you that's not how it works. Tears, probably the most human thing that you can do, to cry. to grieve. And maybe you're not ready yet. Totally understandable. You can't put a timeline on grief. I realize that in my own life. You know, some people would say, all right, it's time to move on, but no, I have to sit with this a little while. So maybe you're not ready to feel the pain of the loss this morning. It's all right. It's okay. You take your time. Take the space that you need. The promise that Jesus gives is that God is there regardless of how long it takes, and that divine healing and comfort, it's with us already. And God is ready to bestow it upon us as we open our hearts and allow ourselves to move down the healing journey in our own lives. So this week, may you embrace grief. May you embrace mourning as the path to the good life. May you not numb your emotions. May you not stuff them down, pretend like they're not real. May you not let anyone tell you that you're to feel a certain way or you're not to feel a certain way. But this week, enter into all of the pain of any loss you've ever experienced. And as you do so, may you experience the promise of Jesus, that you will be comforted. That as you summon and call to your side a divine presence or the love of others around you, may you find a healing and a comfort that brings joy and life to your soul. May the grace and peace of Jesus be upon you this week.